ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவீனாம் உபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்ரம் வன்னோதிபிஃ சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீ மஹாகணாதிபதயே நமஹ சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். வாவிமௌ புருஷௌ லோகே க்ஷரஶ்சாக்ஷர ஏவச க்ஷரஸர்வாணி பூதானி கோடஸ்தோக்ஷர உச்யதே. This verse begins a slightly different topic within the 15th chapter. So Shankara points out that till the earlier verse, that means till the end of 15th, a number of vibhutis were presented, were discussed. See, there is a thing called vibhuti. Vibhuti translated as glory, or a medium in which the glory comes out in a very particular fashion. Like, for example, there is electricity everywhere. Take it like that. There is electricity everywhere. You may not say it is only in the wires. It is really everywhere. Not only in the wires, everywhere it is there. It is in the atmosphere everywhere. It is in your hair also, in your clothes also. Everywhere there is electricity. So, sometimes did you see some sparks now and then? So, when you use these plastic things, etc., so you have electricity everywhere, static or dynamic, in whichever. But in a bulb like this, the electricity appears in a very glorious way. And so you can say, bulb is the glory of electricity. Electricity is everywhere, but this is the glory. Some vibhuti. Like that, there is energy or heat everywhere. Light is also everywhere. But the solar orb is particularly glorious, particularly radiant. And hence we say, solar orb, Surya Mandala, is a vibhuti. So this is the idea of vibhuti. When you are looking at a reality which is all pervading, which pervades and interpenetrates all, which means it is everywhere, at all times it is there, but somehow, as a human being, you want to relate to it, you want to see it, or you want to contemplate upon it, you want to offer a prayer to it, you want to do some puja, etc. Then this all-pervading and interpenetrating all, Ishvara doesn't help. Suppose I ask you, offer flowers to all-pervasive Ishvara. How are you going to do that? So, it doesn't help. Whereas, if I show this river is a vibhuti of Ishvara, now you can offer a flower. Even a tree, Ashwattha Sarva Vrukshanam, this tree, people tree, is a vibhuti of Ishvara. You can go round it three times. So this is the idea of vibhuti. And therefore, vibhuti is a very conditional aspect of the reality, which is beyond all conditions. In the reality, in Brahman, there are no conditions. Conditions means not this legal conditions and all that, you know, conditioning. Like everything, like any object you take, it is conditioned in space. Means it occupies certain space and not the rest of the space. Therefore, space engulfs it and makes it limited within itself. That is a conditioning. Time is another conditioning. And then every object is conditioned by another object. So when you say solar orb is very glorious, then only solar orb is glorious. All around it there is nothing glory again. Again you have to wait for the nightfall, night to come, and then moon is again glorious. So in between the sun and the moon there is nothing glorious above. Suppose when there is the sky is overcast, then you don't see any glory in that. Therefore, the glory, vibhuti, is always conditioned. Vibhuti is conditioned. And therefore, vibhuti is useful. But vibhuti is not real. Why? Because it is conditioned. Is it useful? Yes, it is useful. But is it real? No, it is not real. So, this creation, is it real? No, it is not real. It is unreal. Movie, you go to a movie, Hollywood movie. Is it real? Certainly not. But is it glorious? Yes, certainly glorious. Glorious enough that the director should be given an Oscar award. Camera, what all you see is the trick of camera. That is the trick of camera. And so for tricking us, the cameraman is offered an Oscar award. So he could trick us quite well for that. So there is glory in this creation, but there is no reality in that in the glory. Glory is very provisional thing it is. So when you feel something as glorious, you are already separating it from the rest, which is not so glorious. Therefore, the glory is good. The creation is glorious. Creation, glorious and therefore unreal. At the same time unreal, not therefore unreal, at the same time unreal. So, the creation, you can describe it in two ways. Oh, what a glorious creation. It is ever new. The flowers, the rose flowers are always fresh. In the morning, you have to put in the bracket. They are ever fresh. In the morning. Like that you can describe about the creation. You can even want to do some celebration, which is fine. But at the end of it all, we have to come to our senses. The celebration is over. The glory part is well recognized and we have paid our due respects to the glory. Now the chips are down, in the sense that let us come to reality. Then the flowers, which are so fresh in the morning, by evening they wither away. And the movie, which can get a couple or even more Oscar awards, at the end of the day, it is not real. It is very entertaining, but not real. Therefore, you want entertainment or you want reality? If you want entertainment, sit in the hall and enjoy the movie. Don't raise the questions, is it real? If you raise such a question, you will not be able to entertain. But at the end of the entertainment, you should raise the question, what is the reality of it? Therefore, here up to this verse, up to the end of 15th, we have seen many vibhutis of Ishvara. And every vibhuti is necessarily conditioned. And therefore, it can only be a provisional aspect of Ishvara, but it cannot be the truth. Suppose I want the truth, the reality, then what should I do? I should be able to set aside all conditionalities. So, nirvishesham brahma. The Brahman, the reality, which is utterly free from every single particularity or specificity, that is the Nirvishesham Brahma. That is going to be described now. That is how Shankara introduces this verse. Nirupadhika. First you recognize the Upadhi and then reject the Upadhi, you arrive at the reality. You see, you cannot arrive at the reality in any other way. This method is called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Adhyaropa Apavada Abhyam Nishprapancham Prapanchiyate. Prapanchiyate is described. What? What is described? Nishprapancham, the indescribable, is described. Right? So the ineffable, the indescribable, the unknowable is described. How are you going to do that? If you describe it in any positive terms, then it cannot be indescribable. And if it is indescribable, also ineffable, one and the same. If it is ineffable, you will not be able to describe it. So how are you going to do it? So we do it by a very interesting process, prakriya method, which is very unique to Vedanta, and the method is adhyaropa apavadabhyam. First, you superimpose a few conditions upon that. And then, so that now you are able to see that. See means visualize that. How could you visualize? It is ineffable. How can you visualize it? How can you describe it? No. We have superimposed a few specifics upon it. That is how we superimposed certain specifics, and then having superimposed the specifics, we reject them. Then you are now fixed to the vastu, the reality. This is what is called, in two ways it is called, Shakhachandra Nyayam and also Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. This Arundhati Darshana Nyaya I will describe to you. When the marriage is performed, this is the Indian traditional marriage. So the couple, the man and woman, are advised to look at the stars, two twin stars. It is a single star consisting of two stars, a single group it is, twin. That is Arundhati Vasishtha. They have to look at these two stars. Why those two? Why not other stars? The idea is, this Arundhati and Vasishtha, they never separate. They are always together. Dhruva, never separate, fixed. So this young man and woman also will remain like that. That is the idea. So, not start quarreling soon. So, even if you quarrel occasionally, no harm, but never think of separating and all that. So, you remain together as long as you live. So, this is the message conveyed by showing the Arundhati star to this person, to this couple. So, you see, people, they never look at the stars. They are busy looking at the things of the world. They don't look at the stars. If they want to look at the stars, they go to Hollywood and look down at the stars. They don't look up. They look down. And how can you have stars down? Yeah, you can have stars down. In Hollywood and Bollywood, you can do all that. So they don't have any any opportunity to look up. But this is the time to look up. And so the Purohit, if the Purohit knows, assuming that the Purohit knows, quite often you don't find a Purohit who knows. He just pushes on. And also, the marriage has to be over and they all rush to the lunch and dinner and they want to go home and all that. Who has the energy and time for this Arundhati and all that? But assuming that all factors fall in place, the clouds should not be there. It should be night, 7 to 8 is the right time. If you delay it, then the Arundhati you cannot see. Clouds should not be there. You may want to go outside the community, outside where it is relatively dark, so that you can clearly see the sky. All such that you have to do to have the darshan of Arundhati. And then Purohit, who knows it correctly, He shows, you look at that big star, he sees the big star. Oh, is that Arundhati? No, that is not Arundhati. Then why did he show it? No, just wait. Yes, I saw that Arundhati, okay. Is that Arundhati? No, that is not Arundhati. Oh, then what? Besides the big star, you see a circular kind of thing where three stars are there? Yes, I see. Oh, one of them is Arundhati? No. Okay, I see. Just the middle one you see now, don't look at the left one and the right one. The middle one you see, oh, that is Arundhati? No. Look at that. Okay, I am looking at it. Now what shall I do? You check whether, even while looking at the middle star, do you see something twinkling on, off, just besides that? Yes. Now I see. Now I don't see, but now I see. Ah, that is Arundhati. this is how the person is moved towards Arundhati. What is the method adopted? First you show something and reject it. Show something, reject it. This is the Arundhati Nyaya, quoted by Shankara in Brahma Sutra Bhashyam. So this is how the indescribable or the ineffable is sought to be described or presented in some way by Adhyaropa and Apavada. Therefore, show the Upadhi. Upadhi means a superimposition. So present a superimposition and then reject it. So when you present the superimposition and keep quiet, then he gets the wrong information. He gets the wrong notion. So you should present the superimposition and then reject it. Without rejecting, just present the superimposition is a disservice, because you are passing on a wrong information. Therefore, this is the method adopted. There are three purushas. Why three purusha? Purusha means chetanaha, the awareness, the knowingness. That is the purusha, chetana. So, in chetana, you cannot have plurality. Chetana is always one. It is like light. Light is one. The objects that shine in the light are many, but the light is one. Similarly, chetana is one. The awareness absolute is one. In fact, it is not even one. It is one without the second. That kind of a one it is. It is not one, two, three, not that kind of one. It is like a space. Space is one, means what? There is no second. That is the meaning of one. One fruit means what? There are many fruits and this is one fruit. Space is one. Is it not like that? No. Space is that which has no second. This is the Advaya. So Purushaha Advayaha. Purusha is one. Purusha means Chaitanyam. Why you call it Purusha? Because it can be realized here in this body. Body is Pura. It's a city of multiple gates. City has multiple gates, you know. A walled city has multiple gates. King Koti, you know, King Koti. Yeah, it has multiple gates. So this is the city of multiple gates. Like for example, this is a gate, very active gate it is. And like that, this is a gate, all gates. And so in this city of multiple gates, that awareness can be realized. That's why that awareness is called Purusha. People search for Purusha everywhere, except in themselves. So as long as they search for Purusha elsewhere, they won't get the Purusha. So you have to search within, then you will get the Purusha, Chaitanyam. To make that point clear, that Chaitanyam, that awareness absolute, which is the Brahman, that is called Purushaha. Now there are three Purushas. Come on, how can there be three Purushas? There can only be one Purusha, you know. No, we put superimpositions. Like there are this star, that star, that star, is as if he has shown three Arundhatis. There cannot be three Arundhatis, there can be only one Arundhati. That's why the first Arundhati is not Arundhati, reject. The second Arundhati, so you call it Arundhati only to say it is not Arundhati. And then finally, when you come to real Arundhati, you keep silent. Maunavyakhya, there is nothing more to say. Do you see that twinkling thing? The young man says, yes. Purohit asked the young lady, did you see it? Yes, I have seen. So will you remain like that Arundhati with Vasishtha all your life? Yes, we will do that. Shubham. Nothing more. So similarly, the superimposition, it works like that. The Purusha, let us talk of three Purushas. To begin with, eventually we will reject Purusha number one. We reject Purusha number two. Then you should not say Purusha number three remains. No, Purusha remains. Okay? Not Purusha number three remains, right? The third star is Arundhati. There is no third. You call it third, but there is no third. You see, they are giving bhiksha in some place. Suddenly the person who is giving bhiksha, he changed it. So the earlier person told four people I have given. Now you give to the fifth guy. And I was the fifth guy. So he asked me, are you the fifth person? I said, I am fifth person. I don't know. So why are you standing here? For bhiksha I am standing here. Are you the fifth person? That I don't know. So like that. Then I said, yes. Okay, we give bhiksha because if the name gets me bhiksha, why not? Because I am the fifth person, I can be tenth person, I can be the hundredth person also. Really speaking, I am not any such person. I am what I am. So, purusha. So, three purushas. The first purusha and second purusha are superimposition. Then we come to the real purusha. And then, here, this is the structure. I just described the structure of these two verses. Very critical verses. And now, these three purushas eventually remains as one. You can visualize it with reference to yourself. That becomes very clear. But really speaking, you can visualize it at the macro also. Then the purusha, you start visualizing at the macro level, and that purusha becomes Brahma, sarva jagat karanam Brahma. The same thing you visualize at the individual level, we call it adhyatma. In adhyatma also you visualize the same thing. Then what remains after rejecting all the superimpositions, the two superimpositions, what remains is called atma. Atma it is called. That is what remains. Atma is described as sakala vishesha nishetha sheshaha. Sheshaha, the residuum of the negation of all superimpositions. That is the atma. Sometimes the atma is also called parama atma. It is calling, he is the boss of this organization. And then you can also say, he is the supreme boss. You need not call him supreme boss. Boss is good enough. So, you need not say supreme boss. But then, you say it also. Just to emphasize the point, that you add that word supreme. So, similarly, like saying pure ghee. Pure ghee means what? Ghee only? Yes. Then why do you say pure ghee? Because it is possible that some adulteration could be there. No, we don't know what is adulteration. Okay, for you need not say pure ghee, you simply say ghee. But for those who know adulteration, they will say pure ghee. So like that, atma, there are people who, the moment you say atma, oh, atma was born, atma is going to die, they think like that. So they have all kind of wrong notions about atma. And therefore, if you say parama atma, then the person remains a bit quiet. He stops projecting things because Parama keeps him quiet. Supreme Atma, you know. So that is the idea of Parama Atma. Parama Atma, like pure ghee. Pure ghee is ghee or not, something other than ghee. Ghee only. So like that, Parama Atma. So when you look at the same situation with reference to the Adhyatma and then reject the two superimpositions, you arrive at Atma. In the macro context, you arrive at Brahma. Now, what is this Brahma and Atma? One and the same. Why do you call it then two different names? That's why, because you look at the macro and reject the superimpositions. Even macro is a superimposition. You reject it and you arrive at the vastu, the reality. Because the method of arriving at the reality is in a particular way, you give a name to it, Brahma. The same reality you arrive at in a different way, slightly different way, and then you call it Atma, and then say, oh, Brahma is same as Atma, that is the Tattvamasi. It is like Swami Vivekananda gave an interesting example for this. You have a ball, and one ant started crawling up the ball. And another ant started crawling up the ball exactly in the opposite direction. But both will meet at the same point. So whether you start with micro or macro, you arrive at the same truth. That is the meaning of Tattvamasi. Tat is the reality as you arrive at from the examination of the macro. And Tvam is the reality you arrive at by examining the micro. Are they two different? No. Because in the micro-ness is a superimposition. Same as the macro-ness. So you arrive at the pure reality, the truth, pure awareness, which is Atma, which is Brahman. This is the structure. Now you can look at it. There are two Purushas. The third Purusha will come in the next verse. Total three Purushas we will have. First, to begin with, the two Purushas. Why do you separate like that? Because the two Purushas will be rejected. So the third Purusha alone will remain. Therefore, what you are going to reject, so you count them. It is like, the person is weighing laddus, you know. He weighs the laddu and makes a record. So first he takes this balance with two pans and some weights in the left pan and takes one laddu and puts in the pan. Its weight, 150 grams, records it and then he puts it in the wall. He just eats it away. And then another laddu, that also eats away. And then third laddu remains. That is how we do. Why do you wait? To consume. So similarly, two Purushas, we are going to eat those two Purushas. They will not remain at the end of this story. That's why two Purushas. The third Purusha will remain. So, Uttu, Uttara, Uttama. Did you hear Tara, Tama, Bhava? Uttu, Uttara and Uttama. Uttu means great. Uttara, greater. Uttama, greatest. Or you put it in American language, good, gooder, goodest. So, Uta, Uttara, Uttama. So, first, Dvau, Purushau. Dvau, Imau, Purushau. You see, what you are going to superimpose and eventually reject, you can point it out. These two Purushas, Dvau, Imau, Purushau. The moment he said Imau, Idam Shabda, he is going to reject them. Dvau, Imau, Purushau. Who are these Purushas? Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha. And then the real Purusha is Uttama Purusha. And you see, minus Purusha, there is no Kshara even. Purusha should be there. And put a conditionality and make it Kshara Purusha. Suppose Purusha is not there, can you make a Kshara Purusha out of nothingness? No. Purusha is the reality. Therefore, even in what you are going to reject, the reality will be there. This is the shadow and this is real. Even while saying so, the shadow which is eventually rejected or negated, it is always connected to the real. The shadow is always connected to the real. That's why we have pointed out. It is like showing, look at that star. That star is related to the real star Arundhati. That's why you look at it. Suppose you say, look at that star. Okay, I have looked at that star. That is not Arundhati. Okay, that is not Arundhati. Then keep down. So what is the use of that? So even while negating, every step of negation takes you one step closer to the truth. That is the negation. And the truth is Purusha. Therefore, even the superimposition is invariably associated with Purusha. Without Purusha, there can be no superimposition. That's why we don't call it Kshara. We call it Kshara Purusha. Kshara, you know what is Kshara? Perishable. Whatever perishes is Kshara. Therefore, this is Kshara Purusha. Means the blessed thing called perishable also cannot have any appearance even without that Atma Chaitanyam. What is Kshara also appears only because of Atma Chaitanya. Therefore, Kshara is called Kshara Purusha, Dvavimau Purushau. That is the significance of calling even the perishable Purusha. Because without the Purusha, the perishable cannot even have any context. It doesn't even exist in the context unless it is associated with Purusha. It is like, you should be able to see the shadow as the shadow. You should be able to call the shadow a shadow. But at the same time, You should know that after negating the shadow, you are holding on to the truth. Because even the shadow is connected to the truth. That is the Kshara Purusha. Then purely contextual. Once you have a Kshara Purusha, perishable Purusha, then wherever you have perishable, there will be imperishable. That is how this creation is full of opposites. All creation is made up of opposites. It is like in the world, there is a dukkha. Why there is dukkha? Dukkha means sorrow. Why? Because there is sukha. Whether it is world or personal life, there is dukkha only because there is sukha. There is a heat because there is cold. There is summer because there is winter. Therefore, there is perishable because there is imperishable. Why imperishable? Because there is perishable. Then the truth is not in the opposites. Generally, people are advised to look at the opposites. Look at the opposites. Generally, people get connected or even stuck with one of the opposites. Like for example, sukha, dukkha. What do you want? Sukha, dukkha. What is it that you want? I want sukha. Suppose you try to tell people, are you cannot have sukha without dukkha? No, I want sukha only. It is like I have this head and tail, head and tail. And this head is King George. Tail is some silly numbers and all that. Head is King George, King George rupee coin. So what do you want? I want head. Okay, take head and tail. No, I don't want a head and tail. I want head only. How are you going to have head without tail? So, you see, it is impossible to convince the human mind, the ignorant mind, that you cannot have sukha without dukkha. Because people, all their life, so I am just digressing, but there is a good point in the digression also, because people, all their life, they waste their life in the pursuit of sukha without dukkha. It is not possible. It is like I go and hit the wall with my head to create a way there. Your head gets injured, you will not get a way there, because that is a wall. So similarly, in life, you should not seek sukha and then try to avoid dukkha. Even while seeking sukha, you are seeking dukkha. That is not a good bargain. Then what is the good bargain then? Stop seeking sukha. And then stop avoiding dukkha also. Welcome dukkha. Meet dukkha halfway. Then what happens? If I stop seeking sukha and I meet dukkha halfway, then what happens? You rise above the opposites of sukha and dukkha. And you reach a state of ananda in which there are no opposites. That is what is called ananda. You got the scheme? Similarly, you start with the perishable and you will have the opposite imperishable. But ultimately you have to raise above both. That is where the truth lies. Truth is not in sukha and in dukkha. Truth is in ananda. And similarly, there is no truth in kshara or in akshara. Truth comes when you raise above both kshara and akshara. This is the structure. Now with this kind of a background, now the verse should become easy. Dvau loke, in this loka is our experience. Loka is human, this world means what? The world of experiences only. When you are sleeping, there is no world. You wake up and then the experience of the world begins. That is called world. See, you should understand, there is nothing called world other than the experience of the world. You see, jnanatirikta astitvam. The existence without the corresponding jnana is not accepted in Vedanta. Jnanatirikta astitvam is not accepted. That's why if you have an object, that object is necessarily jnaya. Necessarily jnaya. Can you have an object which is altogether not known? No, not possible. Therefore, that is the Vedanta's basic premise. Because in Vedanta, the jnanam is the truth. There is no other truth. Jnanam is the truth. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. And therefore, whatever you call asti, that asti, the being, is invariably the knowing also. Otherwise, there is no asti at all. Anyway, that is also an epistemological premise, very fundamental to Vedanta. Having said all that, now we are looking at two purushas, kshara and akshara. Now, so let us look at this kshara and akshara first in the macro level. In the macro context, you have the jagat, the world, ever changeful, never the same. Ever changeful means what? Perishable ityartha. Perishable. So it is, that's why kshara it is called. That's why Shankara Bhagavan says, ksharas sarvani bhutani. All the elements, bhuta elements, and you can take all the life forms also. So bhuta word means two things, elements. Then five sarvani bhutani, all elements means they become five elements. All elements is same as five elements. Why? Because there are only five elements. All of you come for lunch, suppose they say. So all of you means what? So 10 people, all the 10, ichyarthaha. Similarly, all elements means the five elements. The five elements are, they constitute the jagat. And the jagat is perishable, ksharaha. Jagat is not real, it is perishable. It is like a movie. In the movie, whatever object you see, even as you are looking at it, it is perishing. It will not be there. Suppose you see a mountain on the movie. Now, what is the age of the mountain? On the movie screen, you see the mountain. What is the age of the mountain? Moment. That moment only is the age. Right? And how long this mountain will exist? A billion years? Are you, come on. It will not exist a billion years. It is momentary only. On the screen, you suddenly see the son and father. What could be the age of the son and the father? Can you guess? It is the same. Momentary. So like that, on the movie screen, the movie, the scenes, means the events and the objects and the people and also lifeless objects like mountain, river, tree. Tree has life, whatever. So all this living and non-living, all that you see in the movie. So if you want to give a name to it, do you call it perishable or imperishable? Perishable. Ksharaha. This jagat is sarvani bhutani. The jagat with all its variety and all its multiplicity, means living, non-living, all opposites, sukha, dukha, past, future, all of the jagat, it is perishable. Are you okay with that statement? You have any problem with it? Okay? You have come to a Vedanta class, you know? So, in Vedanta class, you should not expect the teacher to say, jagat is real. That is not what you should expect. If you hear like that, then you better get up and do something else. Some better job, you can do more useful things outside. So, Vedanta means jagat is perishable. So, that has to be told. Because people are busy with jagat. Busy. Get up and start handling the jagat. Jagat and jagat, now it is lunch time, have some food and again jagat. And evening, have some relaxation and jagat. Now night to 10, still jagat is continuing. Arepa, go to bed. No, so many things are still pending. Nothing will happen. The universe will remain the same, whether you sleep or whether you work one more hour, it doesn't make any difference. The universe will remain the same. No, let me make another $1,000. It doesn't matter. It remains the same. Because it's perishable. So, some sense has to be put into the minds of the people. Because people are crazy. Some sense has to be put into the minds of the people. That is what Bhagavan tries to do. Kshara sarvani bhutani. It is perishable. So, don't be so proud, bhai. Don't be so proud. Be a bit quiet. Because this jagat is perishable. This you have to say to a proud person. Then to a sorrowful person, don't cry, dear son. Why do you cry? About jagat are you crying? Are what jagat? Jagat is not worth crying about, bhai. It is not worth crying about. Don't spill tears about on jagat. It is all maya, unreal, perishable. Sukha perishes, dukkha perishes. Roses perish, the wild flowers, ugly, supposed to be ugly, they also perish. Everything perishes. That is how jagat is. So, this the world, jagat, it is always understood as perishable. That is important, you know, for Vairagya. I was thinking of some poem, but it did not come. Don't bother. Will come. Don't bother, I am saying to myself. So, Kshara sarvani bhutani, that is the jagat. Then, you see, jagat is like magic. Indrajala it is, magic. In magic, the things appear very tangible and very real. And that is how they appear. But they are not real. The magician has made them appear. How can he do that? Anybody else cannot do it, only he could do it. Well, how could he do that? Yes. He has a certain power, shakti, with which he makes all these things appear. Mayavi, Indrajalikaha, Mayavi, the magician. And then Bhagavan is the Mahamayavi. So he is, so Mayinantu Maheshwaram. Mayantu Prakrutim Vidhi. Mayinantu Maheshwaram. This Prakriti means the source of the jagat. That is called Prakriti. Anywhere the word Prakriti is the source. So what is the origin, the source of this jagat? Maya. You cannot have Maya without Mayavi. It is like you cannot have a shadow without the real person. Similarly, the Mayavi must be there. And who is that Mayavi? Ishvara. Parameshwara is the Mayavi. And so, there is the jagat, which is the maya, which is the magic show, and then maya shakti, and the one who wields that maya shakti is Ishvara. Which is real now? I am telling you, the magic show, is it real? No. Then the power of magic, magical power, and then the magician. Between the two, who is really, really real? The magician himself. You know why? Because the so-called power of magic is not different from him. It is the same as himself. Just to explain the appearance, we have invoked an intermediary shakti. But really speaking, the shakti itself has its being, its origin in that magician. It is like a teacher and a teaching. That is not the real dancer and dancing. Dance. Dance is power, you know. Dance is power. The power, dance example is given because in dance there is a kriya shakti and also vijnana shakti. Both are there. Because the dancer will be moving at such a terrific speed. In 5 minutes, the dancer will be panting for breath, like that. Because of so much of hard work she has to do. She has to stamp on the stage, dhad, 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 like this she has to stamp. That is kriya shakti. But simply standing and stamping is not dance. She should know so many things. That is vijnana shakti. Therefore, like dance is a combination of kriya shakti and vijnana shakti, but still shakti, that power, which appears as dance, and then dancer. Now, how many things are there? Let us say 3 things are there. Dance, which you see, the power of dance, and the dancer, 3 things are there. But then, dance, even as you see, it is perishing. This is a wonderful pose, and then that pose is gone. Wonderful posture. These are called karana, some Sanskrit name. Karana, karana means hands and legs are karana. Therefore the posture is also called karana. It is all hands and legs, you know, karana. Suppose the dancer puts a karana like that and stands there like a statue. And then you will be looking at her and she will be looking at you. You don't call that dance. Dance means the posture should disappear and it should be replaced by another one. That replaces by another, that replaces by another. Like that, by the time all postures are over, what she will do? She will run behind the screen. She will not be standing there. Because dance means ksharaha. Whatever is constantly moving and disappearing. Appearing only to disappear. Appears only to disappear. That sequence is called dance. And the power from which this dance emerges is called the dance, power of dance. And the dancer, three are there. But now I am counting. Dance appears and disappears, rejected. It is not real. The power of dance, can you separate the power of dance? This is the power of dance and this is the dancer. Can you separate? You cannot separate. When you cannot separate the power of dancer, power of dance from the dancer, then merge this power of dance into the dancer. So you reject it. It is also a conditionality. You reject it. Like put the question, is the power of dance separate from the dancer? No. Close it. Now dancer remains. This is the model of Nataraja. Ananda Kumara Swami, a great philosopher, he pointed out the symbolism of Nataraja to point out this verse, this Dvavimo Purushavloke. Only Shiva remains. What is his power of dance? What happened to his power of dance? Are it has gone into him. What happened to all the karanas of the dance? They are all apparitional. They appear and disappear. They are not real. Only Shiva remains. This is the verse. So, kshara sarvani bhutani. I can show you a model. This is the model. Now, in this model, you have to assume a few things, right? And in that assumption, you have to follow the way I tell you. Then only it will work. No, we are not willing to accept that way means the model doesn't exist anymore. So this is the model. Aya. This is the Parabrahma. Light, you know. This is the light of awareness, jnanam. And this light has power. Like for example, you see, it is power. It is power. Right? Power, it is power, that's why it is moving. Power, don't say it is coming from my hand. Okay? It is coming from the light only. The light has power. And now what you see? Let us, I have to show this way, okay? Let us party. Okay? That is what you see. This you have to correctly understand. You see, you do not, you please note this, when you are looking, now what are you looking at? Are you looking at the sentence, let us party? Or are you looking at the glow of light? What is it that you are looking at? Be honest. You are looking at let us party. Be honest. While looking at the let us party, are you not missing the glow of light? You say yes, you are missing it. You are missing it. Don't be very wise about it. It is an illustration only, okay? You are missing it. Now I ask you are looking at the Jagat, do you miss Brahman or do you appreciate Brahman? What are you doing? You are missing Brahman. That's why we have a class. So, while looking at this let us party thing, you miss the glory, you miss the glow. You only see let us party. And one more thing, you miss quite a few things. What you call let us party, what are they? Well, let us party, you got one cognition, let us party. But you do not have a sentence there. Sentence is what you imagine. You only have words there, right? You only have words. You just put together 2 and 2 and make a sentence out of it. Right? But what you have there is only words. And then I say, even words you do not have, only letters you have. You put words there, only letters are there. I would say one more step forward, I go and say, there are no letters even. There are no letters even. There are only lines. Lines, you make letters out of those lines. Because you are trained to do that. People have trained you to see letters where there are lines. There is a nice description of this in Brihadaranyaka Bhashya. Very beautiful description. When I was reading it, I was stunned that Shankara comes out with this kind of... He says, when you are reading a book, you look at Rekha, the lines you look at, and everything else you imagine. Yeah. And so there are only lines. And then I go one step further and say, there are no lines, there is only glow. Even lines you see. Take it like that. There is glow. Now, you out of that glow, glow is the Brahman, the knowledge, knowingness, the awareness that alone is there. That is you really speaking. You wake up. What are you? When you wake up, in those first moments of waking up, what are you? You are nothing more than that pure glow. That is what you are. And then the spin starts. And so you have a full samsara. So you are that pure awareness. There is only glow. The glow, because of the power of movement, that movement is called Maya Shakti. The movement is the Maya Shakti. Now there is what happened to Maya Shakti. It merged in the glow. Now the Maya Shakti came out. And so you have let us party. Now Maya Shakti merged in the glow. Then what happened? Only glow is there. What happened to let us party? It is gone. Kshavas sarvani bhutani. Then the Maya Shakti compared with the let us party, Maya Shakti is more related to the glow. It has originated from the glow. And the Jagat disappears, but Maya Shakti remains. Now what happened to let us party? Disappeared, right? But the power of rotation, it is there. In the form of potential, it is there. Why? Because now it came back. Now it is not there. You should not say it is not there. It is there, but as a potential. Now the potential has manifested. Now it is there, but as a potential. Whereas the let us party is always kshara. The power of movement is a potential expressed. Expressed, merged back into the potential, went back into the potential. This is what is called vyakarana, avyakarana, or avyakruta, vyakruta. Vyakruta, avyakruta. Therefore, the thing that appears is a kshara. The movement which causes the appearance is a kshara, but the reality is beyond both kshara and akshara. You can say beyond, or you can say behind, or you can say within, underlying both kshara and akshara. It is something like the glow underlies what you see. The glow itself is something beyond what you see, because in the glow there is no party. In the glow there is no party. Party is what you see, but in the glow there is no party. People want party in the glow also. That is the problem. There is no party in the glow. The glow is beyond the party. It underlies the party. It is within the party. It is above the party. Whatever you choose, whatever word you want, the expression is a metaphorical expression. Even when you say beyond, it's not that the letters party is here and the glow is here beyond. I don't mean that way. It is purely metaphorical expression. Therefore, kshara, akshara and uttama. So the jagat, which is an appearance, caused by the Maya Shakti, which is no different from Parabrahma. And so, appearance jagat, you reject it. Maya Shakti has merged in Parabrahma. You invoked the Maya Shakti to explain the appearance. With reference to the appearance, you have a Maya Shakti. Why you worry about appearance? It is not real. Forget about it. Okay, forget about Maya Shakti also. You don't need a Maya Shakti. No, no, how did it appear? Now you bring back the Maya Shakti. No, it is only an appearance, not real. Why do you worry about it? Why do you want to explain an appearance? Reject it. Okay, I have rejected. Then Maya Shakti is also rejected. It gets rejected automatically. It became a necessity only to explain the appearance. It is like you are watching a movie. What is there on the screen? You tell me in real terms what is there on the screen. Light only. Light and light only. Nothing but light. Then how come we see all those figures there? Because of a film moving, you see all those figures. I don't talk about the film, moving film, unless you ask me about the figures there. Therefore, this is how Kshara, Akshara and Uttama, Uttama Purushaha, they are structured. And in this Kshara and Akshara, Kshara is the apparitional universe. The universe is apparitional. You see, the universe happened. It is there before you. It happened because of what? It happened because of karma, action? No. That is what people think. The universe happened because of action, karma, on the part of some creator. This is the creationism. Creator performed an action called creation to produce this creation, this universe. This is the creationism. Creationism is, there is no truth in creationism. You must know that. And the universe is an apparitional universe. So it did not happen because of karma. That's why karma cannot free you from the bondage of the universe. If you are bound by karma, then a different kind of karma will release you. But you are not bound by karma. You are bound by ajnana. The person is afraid of a serpent. Not because the serpent is real. Because he doesn't know what is there. That is called ajnana. What is his rope? He doesn't know that. Because of ajnana, he is afraid. Fear is bondage. Bondage is fear. Fear and desires, they constitute the essence of the bondage. And this bondage is put in place by ignorance, not by karma. People think karma has put it in place. And therefore they want to overcome it by karma. So it is like you bind yourself more and more. Because karma won't liberate you. Why karma won't liberate? Because karma did not, karma is not the cause of bondage. If it is the cause of bondage, then it will liberate you. So, then what is the cause of bondage? Ajnanam is the cause of bondage. Not knowing the truth. Then you may ask, how come I don't know the truth? I am an intelligent person, a human being, a cognitive person. How come I don't know the truth? It is inadvertence. Pramada. Inadvertence. You see, there is a rope, but you end up seeing it as a snake and get frightened or frightened. So, why did I not see the rope? You ask that question yourself. You must have seen a snake quite often on a rope. Certainly you must have seen. That's why that example came. Anything is there, any rope-like thing is there, thread is there, you see a crawling creature there and get afraid. Why it happened? Because you are in a hurry, you do not have time and enthusiasm to watch correctly, cautiously, you are always busy catching something at the other. This is what we call inadvertence. When you become overly busy, you become inadvertent. And because of that inadvertence, you are busy walking here and there and waiting for somebody or doing something, that inadvertence, it makes you see a serpent, whereas what is only a rope. Similarly, in life, because of inadvertence, we see things which just do not exist. You see fear, you see insecurity, etc. All these things are experienced because of inadvertence. You do not pay attention. So, if you pay attention, there is no need for fear. And if you pay attention, there is no need for illness also. You need not become sick. The way people become fall sick, it is all in the making. It is always in the making. They think that suddenly people become sick. Suddenly they don't become sick. It is all in the making. So suddenly a person doesn't become heart patient. It is in the making. He is just preparing this disease quite well. He is nourishing it and now it is ready. For the last 10 years he is doing that job. It is all in the making. Therefore, samsara, the bondage of samsara, it is in the making. So, people, by the time they are elderly and they are retired, there is no happiness in life. They are very unsatisfied. And they don't find any cheer in their lives. They are a bundle of bruised emotions. Why it happened? Because I retired, therefore it happened. No, sir, it did not happen because you retired on the day of retirement. It did not happen then. When did it happen? When you were married, it started. Anyway, so I will continue this story. Please have a cup of tea. Oh, Purnamadah, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnameva Vashishyate. ॐ शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु 11:25